Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and I've got another nutty chat for the dog days of podcasting for your ear holes right now. With me today, I have Kinsey Schwartz. Hi, Kinsey.
Hello.
And Kinsey is from the Brazilianisms podcast, as well as being all over the podosphere for many, many years. But we met through Between the Lines Studios, right?
Yes, that's right.
Way back when, during Buffy Between the Lines and Angel Between the Lines and all sorts of awesomeness.
Yeah, so we've known each other for maybe 5 years?
Yeah, well, at least, if not more. Because I was doing that before I even moved to Canada, and I moved to Canada in 2008. So, wow.
Oh, okay, yeah, so I started with Between the Lines in 2007 when it first started. Yeah.
Yes, we're getting old. Time keeps passing. It feels like Buffy Between the Lines was only 3 years ago, though, to me.
Yeah, time really does pass.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast, Brazilianisms?
Well, it's a podcast basically about Brazil. I used to have a co-host. Now I mostly do interviews with people, English speakers, either Brazilians or Americans who have spent time in Brazil or have something to say about Brazilian culture, Brazilian music, Portuguese language. And basically, it's a resource people can use. When the first time I came to Brazil was back in 1987 as a high school exchange student, and there really wasn't that much information out there. There was no internet, and I could just rely on the information that people told me or that I could get from an encyclopedia. So this basically covers everything that I know about Brazil and that I can bring in other people to talk about that I wish I had had back when I first went to Brazil. But it's not just for people who are thinking of going to Brazil. It's for anyone who has an interest in Brazil or just other countries and cultures in general.
It sounds fascinating. I have not listened to it, but it's always been on my, all right, when I get to a lull, I need to check that out, kind of a podcast. I have such a long list. It's like I'm constantly adding podcasts and then not listening. So I've told myself, unless you get to a lull, you cannot add another one. That's been my rule. But it sounds like so much fun. I've been listening to a podcast through Dog Days where it's a Japanese, the regular podcast is Japanese and English, you know, it's bilingual. And he talks a lot about Japanese culture. So I was thinking, I was like, well, I really should be adding Brazilianisms to my podcast queue because I'm really enjoying hearing about the different cultures. So I think that that would be a really good resource. And Brazil isn't really one of those countries that you see a lot of information about.
Well, you have lately because it recently became the eighth largest economy in the world and then lost that position very quickly.
Oh,
so
no.
It was in the news for a while.
It was a blip.
Yeah.
It sounds like such a beautiful place to me. Every picture I've seen, everything I've ever heard about it has sounded lovely. I mean, yes, there's bad stuff for every country and hardships for every country. But what is your favorite thing about living in Brazil?
Well, I've studied lots of languages, so I like to live in a place where English isn't the first language. I find that much more stimulating and interesting because every time you're in a conversation, you can pick up something. I'm also a big fan of the wood fire pizzas that they have here.
That sounds good. So yeah. How do they differ than pizza in most of the United States?
Well, there are a few restaurants in the United States where you can get a wood-fired pizza, but they're not that common. The Brazilian pizzas also tend to have a thicker crust, and there's a special cheese, like a soft cheese called catupiry, which is really good when it's melted, and you can't get that outside of Brazil.
Mm.
And also there's the Brazilian tradition of putting ketchup on the pizza, which sounds pretty awful, but actually it works well for certain pizzas.
That sounds like a crime against humanity to me. Being a New Yorker, we treat pizza like a religion. And ketchup just sounds wrong.
Well,
but
yeah,
when in Brazil...
Yeah, and I wouldn't put ketchup on most American pizzas. Brazilian pizzas tend to have less tomato sauce, and the ketchup actually, in moderation, it works pretty well. They also put olive oil on the pizzas.
Mm-hmm. We do that in New York, too. But then again, it's so much olive oil that it will drip right off the pizza, and it'll make your plate clear.
And there's another thing, too, which is Brazilians do not eat pizza with their hands. And if you pick up a slice of pizza in a restaurant and start eating it with your fingers, you might even get thrown out of the restaurant. They're completely unfamiliar with that practice.
That's fantastic. Hang on. Excuse me. I just had to sneeze. Oh, it was bad. that sounds like my grandfather. My grandfather refused to eat pizza with his hands. He was German and he used a knife and fork when eating pizza. And of course, everyone just kind of like laughed at him and was like, okay, whatever. Meanwhile, my grandmother, who was also an immigrant, had no problem eating pizza with her hands.
Okay, yeah. I tell Americans when they visit that when we go out for pizza, that picking up a slice of pizza and eating it with your hands would be like someone going to the U.S. and eating lasagna with their hands.
That's a fun mental image. So what are some other favorite parts of living in Brazil?
Ah, well, the weather is usually nice. We don't have winter. We don't have fall because the trees don't really change color. It's actually the same all year round. So it's always hard to adapt to the U.S. When I go to the U.S. in the summer, I'm always kind of shocked by how hot it is. And then when I go in the winter, I have to adapt to the cold. So I'm glad I have a little bit of both.
So it's always the same temperature, but it's never too hot?
Well, Brazilians constantly complain about the temperature, but it's not something that I would complain about. I always wear T-shirts. If it gets down to the 50s, Brazilians will put on these big puffy winter coats that make them look like Eskimos while I'm wearing a T-shirt.
So you always come back to visit family and everything else about once a year, right?
Yes.
And you do like this major trip. What do you spend, like a month here, it seems like?
I spend a few months because I visit my parents and my brother, and I still have a house in the U.S. So things are so much cheaper in the U.S. I do a lot of shopping in the U.S. and then bring stuff back with me from there. But yeah, the trip, I didn't do the trip last year or this year, but we did for 5 years. My wife and I would drive from Indiana to California and back again, and we would visit all the sites. We'd go to Disneyland and check out different restaurants and things like that.
That is hardcore travel. That is absolutely. So you still have a house in the U.S. Any particular reason why you're hanging on to it, or?
Well, I've accumulated a lot of stuff over my life, and my stuff is in my house. And I don't know. I think it's part of it has to do with the fact that I got married later in life. I think when people are younger and they get married, they have less stuff, and they have. Or maybe they live in an apartment, but then if you get married later in life, like my wife has her finances and her apartment and I still have my house, and it's just, you know, a very slow process to, put these two things together.
Okay. I see. When my husband and I got married, I was 30 something. I can't remember. I think I was 31. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we had each had our own places for so long. So when we had to put our stuff together, there was a lot of stuff we ended up giving away. We made a bunch of high school to college kids very happy and furnished a bunch of apartments because suddenly we had two of everything at the very least. And the only thing left over from that is our DVD collection. We've got a couple of doubles there. But it was so weird. Like, there's just too much stuff for all of this. And it was weird because my family's like, you have to have a wedding registry. I'm like, we've been living on our own for years. For me, it was well over a decade living on my own. I don't need a blender. I don't need a toaster. I have dishes. I have multiple sets of dishes. And it was definitely a strange experience when you compare it to the average newlywed.
And that's an interesting difference, too, because, of course, you would have a lot of duplication of stuff, whereas I don't really have that because my stuff is in the U.S. and my wife's stuff is here in Brazil. And there's no way I could put all that stuff in a suitcase. So the stuff stays separate in two different worlds.
Yes. So do you think that you'll move back to the States ever?
We're talking about it maybe in 10 or 15 years. My wife can't really leave Brazil because she has a really good job.
Right.
And her mother is still alive and she does a lot to take care of her mother. But we're talking about after she retires that maybe we could move back to the U.S.
Ah, that would be nice. And then holding on to that house definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
My husband, the reason why we live in Canada is because of my husband's job. So it's a little bit similar, although not as far. And it's one of the things that we've talked about. It's like, well, maybe for retirement, we'll become snowbirds. And we'll do that thing where we spend half the year in one country and half the year in another country or something like that. But we haven't decided. We've got so much time before then.
And you live on different military bases, which I guess is pretty interesting.
Yes. it's funny. Until where we live now, I never felt like I was on a base because I always lived outside of the base in like a village type setting. Even though it was considered base housing, it wasn't on a base. And it's very different than Canadian bases are so different than United States bases, though I've never lived in a United States base. I've just heard stories from friends. But this time where we're living now is the very first time that I've lived, you know, on a base where I have to pass gates and to get to my house. And the only people living in this area are military people. Whereas other places, I would only have to walk maybe four blocks before I ran into civilian houses. So it's a little bit different, but it's nice. Very nice.
But you're near a city though, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. We're, just outside a 200,000 population town, called Barrie, and we're an hour north of Toronto.
Okay. Well, that's cool. So you're not just, I was starting to picture just a base like out in the middle of nowhere where you couldn't go anywhere.
No, nothing like that. Thankfully, almost all of the Canadian bases are outside a city. What they classify a city is not always what I classify a city, but definitely outside a city. We used to live outside the capital of New Brunswick, which is Fredericton. So we were a 15-minute drive from Fredericton, but Fredericton is not a city. It is like Nassau County, or even Suffolk County in New York. You know, it's just suburbia to me. It's a little town.
But it has a radio station though, right?
Yes, it did. Does. Actually, there's quite a few radio stations, but yes, it had the radio station I was on, which was so much fun. But it's a city, especially for New Brunswick, because New Brunswick doesn't have anything that I classify as city. You know, Toronto, New York, Boston, Montreal, Philadelphia, the Washington, D.C. These are cities. And then you go to like some Canadian cities and East Coast cities, and they call it a city, but it's like there's only 60,000 people that live here. There's more cops than that in New York.
Well, in the U.S., I live in Muncie, Indiana, which has only, I think, 70,000 inhabitants.
There you go. So do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
It's less a U.S. to Canada cultural difference and more of a city folk to rest of the world country folk cultural difference for us. Because I'm just when you start out in a place like New York, everything else is just strange to you. Meanwhile, that's what most of the United States is like.
Yeah, and now I'm always switching between a city of 3 million people and a city of 70,000.
Yeah, that's got to be pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is interesting.
One last thing I wanted to talk to you about. You said that you bring a bunch of stuff back with you on your trips. I remember when I was working in Florida, I was living out of a hotel and people would come and they would have what looked like big oil drums, and they would fill them with stuff that they bought so that they could take them back to their country because it was so much cheaper. Is that the kind of stuff that you do? Like, do you fill like these giant packages and what is that like?
Well, I hadn't heard of the oil drums before. That sounds intriguing. I fill my suitcases and I've gotten very good at packing. A lot of stuff, like all my electronic stuff I buy in the U.S., almost all of my clothes come from thrift stores in the U.S. because they're so expensive here.
Yeah.
And there's stuff, a lot of stuff, that the taxes are so high here, the import taxes, that a lot of stuff I can bring to Brazil and sell. And also, I always get Dove chocolates because you can't get really good dark chocolate in Brazil, at least in my opinion. So.
Oh, that's such a shame.
I always stuff a lot of chocolate into my bags, and then hopefully I can make it last for a year.
Nice. Well, stock up on that on your next trip. Thank you for joining us. This was so much fun. I could probably talk to you for another hour, but my battery is starting to run low. But thank you for joining us, and I'd love to have you back on a debate or something sometime. Can you tell people where they can find you?
Mostly they can find me at Brazilianisms.com, which is where my Brazil podcast is.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Stay cool, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Two guys, a girl, and a goblin.
Lenny Satan is the worshippers.
Not that I'm aware of.
Gypsies.
This is the closest you can get to Chuck Law without getting your eyes wet.
I've taken far too much laudanum and I am not well.
All of my clipboard here. My spooky clipboard. You see, spooky. I drew a skull on it.
It's festive. Well,
anyway, I gotta vacuum more this. I gotta do this mad vacuum. I gotta do my vacuuming.
It's a Jersey werewolf.
We have exorcised the demons.
Part of the Everyone's Got a Thing podcast network, available at twoguysagirlandagoblin.com.
There's a recipe for fudge in my notebook.
That's brilliant.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlast Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlaststudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlast.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.